behind it. Pissarro gets that along the end board. Back over to Vance at the blue line. Vance deflection, scored! Carson Vance gets his first goal of the game for the Lakers. 3:18 left to go. Here comes the speedy Broman. Broman in the slot there. Just follow up. Broman, rebound, scores! Broman gets his own rebound. 7-1 Lakers lead.
You are listening to the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast with Matt Watling, Luke Owens, and Ben Grieco.
Welcome back to the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. Matt Watling here, joined alongside Luke Owens, and unfortunately Ben Grieco will not be able to join us as he is doing his managing editor duties. Let's jump right into last weekend with whiteout. On Friday, Oswego State beats Plattsburgh 3-0, and Luke, the thing that to me was kind of interesting was that Coach Gosick in post-game interview with Bennett said that he wasn't too happy with the third period, saying that David Richey kind of bailed him out a little bit.
Yeah, Lakers have struggled really all season long in that third period, and Richey obviously almost came up with a weird leg injury when Derrick Brown rolled up on him, but he ended up staying in that game. I think you kind of mentioned on the broadcast, but they would have had to get a stretcher out to get David Richey out of that game, and he really did bail him out a few times in that third period. But the Lakers did a good job in the first two periods kind of building that lead. They were obviously already up 3-0, and I think that's kind of a little bit of Gosick just being very nitpicky because he knows how much potential this team can have.
Yeah, he really does. And for Richey, he made 15 saves in the third period, and they were all pretty quality scoring chances. You know, both of us being on the call for WTOP, just watching the game even, and you saw the intensity kind of shifted towards, or the ice tilted towards Oswego State's end, which is something that's very uncharacteristic. And obviously, this is a team that's up 3-0, so maybe you're not being as aggressive, but you saw Plattsburgh get a lot of decent looks.
Yeah, they did get a lot of good, decent looks, as you mentioned. And one thing that's kind of interesting is we talked about how early this game was. It's a Friday night, things like that. And I think that when this game is played next semester, it's going to be a whole different game because just so many young pieces, so many moving pieces on that Plattsburgh State team under Coach Moffitt now. And I think they have a lot of talented pieces. It's just kind of wrong place, wrong time. Oswego State comes in with the veterans, kind of have their feet under them already going into that matchup. So I think it's going to be a whole different game when they meet next semester in Plattsburgh.
Yeah, definitely. And sort of speaking about how early on this game was, there was 306 fans there, according to the Lakers website, and it just didn't feel like whiteout to me. And I think we both agreed with it when we said that, look, the fans were all in white, they were waving their towels, but I didn't feel an energy. There wasn't almost a chill-inducing crowd. And I was kind of, I don't say disappointed in the crowd, but there definitely was something to be wanted if you were the fans in terms of the cheering levels.
Yeah, it kind of felt like any other regular season game, and I don't know if that's really a knock on the fans, on if it's, you know, too early in the year and coming off of just one regular season game before that, but you're right, the energy levels felt a little bit off. And
maybe because it was Friday too.
Yeah, so I expect maybe next semester the Geneseo game is going to be kind of the big one where the energy levels are up, the level of hockey is up as well. It was kind of not a sloppy game, but I mean, a 3-0 win for Oswego, I don't think they can complain about that. But there were definitely some moments where it just felt a little bit dead, a little bit quiet, like you said.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that Gosick has to be happy about is the fact that they only took 3 penalties in that game, something that Gosick's preached about being well-disciplined and not taking these penalties, because you look at other teams that have really talented power plays, and they're going to make you pay.
Yeah, and Oswego State does a great job on their penalty kill. I mean, you talk about Carson Vance and Carter Allen, the top D pair. They just do such a good job kind of standing their ground, making just so many smart decisions, especially with Carson Vance. He just has such a high hockey IQ. I feel like I've said so many times so far this year, it was only a matter of time he got onto the board in terms of points. So a great job by Vance and Carter Allen really manning that penalty kill. And the Lakers have had an elite penalty kill so far this year. They hadn't been scored on at all until that Potsdam game. So they've just done a really good job controlling in front of David Richey, not allowing those second and third opportunities.
Right, and you talk about Vance, and you talk about that second game against Potsdam where they won 8-1, and that third period was the story of the entire game and really the weekend. I mean, you score 6 goals in that third period. They looked so impressive, and just that was the team that I was expecting to come out for all these early games, especially against a team like Cortland that's not necessarily the most talented. Plattsburgh that has a lot of new pieces that aren't necessarily quite gelling together. And then Potsdam, a team that's never really in the playoff conversation, only played 20 minutes of really perfect Oswego State hockey in that third period.
Yeah, and kind of talking before going into that game, I know we couldn't quite place our finger on exactly what it was, but we were saying, you know, we expect more out of this Oswego State hockey team, and they really showed up in that third period. Obviously, 6 goals is insane in any period against any team, and really a lot more crisp passing, a lot more energy, kind of got the crowd involved a little bit more in that third period. And obviously, Travis Broman was a star, and he was absolutely fantastic down that stretch.
Yeah, two goals within a minute of each other, and that's kind of that quick strike offense that we've come to expect from this team. You score what looked like three goals within 2 or 3 minutes, and then, of course, Tanner Spink had one earlier on in that third period, Jody Sullivan as well, and even Jeff Solo getting on the board 11 seconds into it. So that was really the story of the weekend. But then you look at kind of this game in general, and in that second, the first and second period, Potsdam did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they did. They matched the speed of Oswego State. They did a good job controlling their defensive zone, but then the Lakers kind of found those holes, and we knew they were going to open eventually, but it did take a little while. And obviously on the other side for Potsdam, I mean, Rob Clare, the former Oswego Laker, looked really impressive, really skating with a lot of skill, and you almost wonder if he would have had a chance to really get on these lines with this Oswego State team, and he was very impressive, and he scored the lone goal for the Bears.
Yeah, he looked really good, and I was almost disappointed he left Oswego State because he's a guy that, you know, he's playing on a team that's not great. He's getting these opportunities, so maybe he's scoring at a rate that you wouldn't see in Oswego State just because he's getting those chances, he's getting those top-line minutes, playing on the top power play unit. But something for the Lakers to kind of come away with this with disappointment was the fact that they took, just counting a rough count, 8 penalties.
Yeah, those penalties are something that they want to clean up, and a few of those, just thinking back, were really not penalties you want to take either. It's not like
a couple offensive zone penalties, and then unnecessary boarding calls, I think, was in there as well.
Gillespie drew a 2-minute and also a 10-minute game misconduct for kicking an opponent's stick. So just kind of those little penalties that you don't want to see. You know, it's not really a trip or a hook or kind of those smart penalties sometimes that you take instead of allowing the goal. So I think Oswego State definitely wants to clean up in those areas for sure.
Yeah, and kind of moving on to the women's team now. It's hard to assess last weekend. You play a team in Plattsburgh State who has now won their 24th straight win. They have one blemish in 2-plus seasons in new HL play, and that was a tie.
Yeah.
A tie in the first year of the new HL against Oswego State, and now they're ranked number one in the nation. So you lose by a combined score of 10-1, but at the same time, it wasn't about wins and losses against Plattsburgh.
No, it wasn't, and Coach Dillon said going into the weekend, you know, we just want to focus on us. We want to see what we can do well. I mean, it's not really taking great things away, but they did score a goal. Rachel Farmer made 68 saves across two games on the weekend, so that was great. And in game two, they only lost 3-0. So, you know, you hate to kind of go in and say, you know, we got those moral victories. But the Lakers did kind of clean up in some areas that I think they wanted to. And it's so early in the year to play Plattsburgh State, which is almost an advantage, though. You kind of see what you have going against the best team in the country, the defending national champion. So, you know, not the worst weekend in the world. It was only an 0-2 start in new HL play. Still a lot of games to go.
Yeah, and I think you lose by a big score, as we said, but Coach Dillon talking to our beat writer, Neil Boedeker, and she said that, to some extent, this was about the tendency they show, the habits they have, rather than those wins and losses. Because as we can say repeatedly, if you beat this Plattsburgh team, it's a shock. So yeah, you're not expected to win, but then you come out, and on Wednesday night, you just really impress against a team like Buffalo State.
Yeah, they looked fantastic on that Wednesday night game. The first Wednesday night game of the season, and we're going to start seeing that a lot more going forward. And for Buffalo State, they kind of came out slow. Oswego State got the 1-0 lead. Then they tied it up, and it was kind of looking, you know, back and forth. And in those second and third periods, Oswego State just dominated. I mean, it was the Amber Thomas show in the second period. 2 goals, 5 points on the night, which ties an Oswego State women's hockey record for points in a game. And she just looked amazing that second period. What an addition in the transfer from Plymouth State.
Yeah, and obviously we haven't really seen too much of her, this being the first regular season home game. But that wasn't what I was expecting from her. I was expecting a longer, you know, plays a good 200-foot game, a good reach, good size. I wasn't expecting this dynamic skill. And I think using her size to get to the front of that in that second goal from that beautiful pass by Erin Stewart when she cut along down beneath the goal line and got it out to Amber Thomas in front of the net, with no defense in sight, that's what you kind of expect from Amber Thomas, getting those goals in front of the net. And I think there was more of a surprise that she was able to really just dominate in that game to some extent. And then you look at those kind of those creative goals, those goals that you expect certain players to score on this team, and I think one of those girls is Megan Teachout, who just really, again, has been so impressive. She had a goal last night. I think she has 2 or 3 on the season. And she took 9 shots and 5 on goal.
Yeah.
That's impressive, and that's something that you can almost expect to see from her every single game she plays.
Yeah, you have Teachout, and also another addition in freshman Morgan Shines, who got the Lakers scoring going on Wednesday night. And just so many good offensive pieces on this team. I mean, we mentioned Amber Thomas. Erin Stewart has been great, especially passing the puck, and we already know she can score. the leading scorer from last season. And then you add Shines, you add Teach out, you add Mia Conboy, all these players that really an emphasis on scoring. So Lakers kind of a couple years ago, they went out and got their defense. And you see what a strong defensive core they have with Taggart and Bailey Thomas. And the list goes on and on with Randazzo. And now they go and get their offensive pieces. And this, to me, looks like one of the more balanced teams that they've had for quite some time.
Yeah, they've definitely impressed me. And one thing I really want to bring up is the power play. Filomena Taggart scoring a power play goal in that game on Wednesday night. And the way that they set up their power play, to me, was just so weird.
Yeah, it was. And they had – it was Randazzo and Taggart, I believe, right, at the
yeah,
point.
Yeah, both at the point. And you had Randazzo really pretty much in the corner of the point where it's touching the wall. And then you had Taggart maybe 3 or 4 feet out, not quite center point, but not quite along the boards. And they just passed it back and forth, and then it went down to the half wall to, I believe, it was Amber Thomas.
Yeah, and also Stewart was down there as well.
And you just had the three of them passing and basically – not even a triangle, like an angle. And I sat there watching the game, and I'm like, this isn't how you move the puck on a power play.
Yeah.
And just as I said it, Luke, on the broadcast on NYO, you saw Taggart receive a pass, take 2 or 3 quick steps to the center point, and fire a shot, I believe, 5-hole against Bree Goranski.
Yeah, but in that same vein, you know, you mentioned it's very unconventional. So I'm not sure exactly what Coach Digby, the associate head coach, excuse me, for the women's team, is preaching, but it's very clearly the system. I mean, they line up like that every single time, but it takes away, you mentioned on the broadcast, you made a great point, it takes away an entire half of the ice on the power play. It almost takes away the man advantage that you have on the power play. So it's kind of an interesting strategy, but I mean, it's worked. That's 4 goals on the power play so far for the Lakers. They only had 6 all of last year, so somehow, some way, I don't know exactly how it's happening. We'll have to keep an eye on that, but that power play unit has somehow worked better this year than it ever has.
Right, and this weekend they only play 1 game on Saturday against SUNY Cortland, a team that they've always seemed to play well. They're very similar in terms of how, not necessarily how they play, but the records they have at the end of the year. They're teams that they're hovering around 500, and I think last year Oswego State was within a point or two of taking that second seed from Cortland and hosting a playoff game rather than dropping to the 4 seed and losing to Plattsburgh State.
Yeah, and obviously it's so early on, but that win against Buffalo State for the Lakers I thought was huge. Obviously, you get your first 2 new HL points. You've already played Plattsburgh, so really it's full steam ahead. And then going up against Cortland, a team that just lost their first new HL game against Morrisville, which is really not a great loss, one of the 2 new teams added to the new HL along with Canton. And that's not a loss I think the Red Dragons want to take. So this weekend's going to be a big game. And if the Lakers can keep rolling, I think it's a game they can definitely win. I mean, Rachel Farmer in net, obviously, Cortland knows her pretty well. They don't have her anymore, so I think it could be a close game, but I think the Lakers, if they can keep that offensive firepower going, they should be in good hands, because in between the pipes, they know they have Rachel Farmer. They have a great defense in front of her, and I really love the potential of this Lakers team.
Yeah, I think they're so impressive, and again, this freshman class that they've really brought in has been so impressive. And we're actually off of women's hockey, I should say, and move on to the coaches' comments section of the podcast, where we hear from Gosick, Whitelaw, and this week it's going to be Josh Zizek as well.
It's time for the coach's comments.
So first up, we have a quote from head coach Gosick, and he really said something really interesting to Sal Miliato at Morning Skate on Thursday, and just take a listen to what he had to say.
We certainly don't want to think that we're some, at this point, offensive, you know, powerhouse. We need to play good defensively. We need to do, you know, we keep saying we're not that talented of a team where we have a go-to guy. Or it's by committee, it's by each line, you know, playing hard, earning the goals the right way.
Yeah, you know, you hear that comment from Coach Gosick, and not to disagree too much with the head honcho, but, you know, he says we don't have that one guy. Well, I think Oswego has a bunch of those guys that they think they can go out and score a goal at any given opportunity. I think Travis Broman is the first guy that comes to mind for me, but, you know, when he's inconsistent, you have those consistent guys like Anthony Becerro, like Max Nova, like Carter Allen, like Josh Zizek. To me, they have a lot of those guys that can go out and score, you know, at will. And we know Coach Gosick's the first to criticize his team to say we have to get better, but to me, I think that they have a lot of pieces that can score. So definitely an interesting comment there from Coach Gosick.
It feels like he's trying to stay humble, and one thing that he said later on in the interview was that he doesn't think that these guys have a player in the top 10 in SUNYAC points. And I'm pulling it up right now just to take a look at and to see if he's actually telling the truth, because I know he's a guy that wants to keep his guys humble. But just looking at this team, I agree with you, Luke, in the sense that they have so many of those guys.
Yeah, they do. And to me, like I said, it starts with Travis Brown, but it just trickles down through all four lines. I mean, guys we haven't even mentioned, and Molinaro and Colton Fletcher and Tanner Spink and even Carson Vance, a defenseman that we know can put points on the board. So to me, they don't really have that many struggles offensively, and we saw that especially in that Potsdam game in that third period.
So Travis Broman is tied for 10th with 5 points in 3 games played, but at the same time, it just feels like a statement that Gosick's trying to keep his guys hungry. I don't think there's much more to read into it, just because this is a talented team, and I think he wants to win those games 4-2. I believe is the number that he said back in our freshman year 2 years ago, and they do just that. But they have these guys that can score every single game. I mean, Anthony Passero is over a point per game in his 80-plus games played between here and Buff State. Then you look at Josh Zizek, who doesn't have a goal yet, but he still has 4 points on the season. Once he gets that first goal, I really think he can really kind of turn it up and generate a lot of offense.
Yeah, I think that'll open the floodgates. And, I mean, you said it to a T. So many guys that are really a point per game, players point per game potential, as Travis Broman almost is that. 28 points already in his young career as a Laker. So, yeah, like you mentioned, I think they have a bunch of scoring. Just Coach Gosick trying to keep the boys hungry and keep them humble.
Right. And I was talking to Josh Zizek on Tuesday, I believe it was, talking about this new kind of rivalry with SUNY Geneseo, a team that's really been dominant the last couple of years. And here's what he had to say on that newfound animosity between the two teams.
The last 3 years, for sure, that I've been here, they've always been close games. I know we got the history with Plattsburgh, but I feel like we're kind of building our own history with Geneseo these last few years. And especially with last year, we lost to them in the finals. It's still like a salt in the wound, right? Like, it still hurts these days. But last year was last year, so now all we can do is just look forward to this year.
Yeah, and talking about that pain from last year, it really does feel like this team wanted and expected to win. Talking to David Richey, the goaltender for the Lakers, he said, you know what, I thought we should have won that game. He was someone that was very critical of himself, giving up that game-winning goal. Couldn't see it, but it was a screenshot from the point. So, as we've heard time and time again, he worked over the summer with his goaltending coach, working on screens and fighting through them. And this Friday night, or this Saturday night, I should say, in Geneseo, is going to be that test to see what he learned and what this team learned after losing in a heartbreaking fashion against them in the finals.
Yeah, and there's just been so many close games of recent memory. I mean, you talk about the Swinney Championship, the tie at the Murano Campus Ice Arena is one of the better games of Division III hockey I can ever remember seeing. That the intensity was there, the play styles were both amazing, the goaltenders were both on their toes all night long. So these games have been close, and really what breeds a rivalry, and we kind of talked about it last week with Plattsburgh State, is both programs being at an elite level. And Geneseo is just starting to kind of get into the elite level, but they haven't always been great. Oswego's owned this series historically, but recently the Knights have really turned it around. They have a lot of star players, guys that come from D1 programs. So a good job by the Knights to kind of build up, and that's where you see these two teams kind of building the animosity, as Isaac says.
Right, and finally we'll hear from assistant coach John Whitelaw on the Brockport and Geneseo power play units, as those are two of the best in all of D3.
Facing two big-time power plays this weekend, I think 34% and 37% or 38%. So that's going to be an unbelievable challenge for us, but I think with the confidence we have right now in our penalty killing and our goaltending, it's exactly what we want and exactly what we need right now.
And it's kind of interesting to hear Whitelaw say that those elite power plays, I should say, that they want to face is what they're ready for. They need it. They want it. And that's a good point, because, you know, when you're facing these talented power plays and you take 8 penalties like they did against Potsdam, you're not going to be taking that many the next time around. You know, you're facing Geneseo, you're going to take 1 or 2 quick penalties, and your penalty kills are going to be gassed and say, wow, guys, we need to hold up on this. I mean, this is ridiculous having to face this type of offense.
Yeah, exactly. They have to avoid the box. But, you know, one thing Whitelaw doesn't mention, I mean, he says how confident they are, but, I mean, the Lakers have been great on the penalty kill. But, again, against teams like Cortland, Plattsburgh kind of still finding out their identity, Potsdam not great on the power play, but they're holding opponents to 1-14 this season, which is mighty impressive. They've done a good job protecting Richey or Hansen, whoever would be in net on that penalty kill. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how they play, especially against Geneseo, to me, because Brockport, now I'm not saying they're a flash in the pan with their power play, but a team that last year wasn't great on the power play, but Geneseo, you know all the weapons they have on their power play unit.
they're such a good team, and we'll get to them in a little bit. It's incredible that Potsdam tied them, and everyone was thinking, oh, wait, is this kind of them teetering? You lost a lot of talent, and then you turn right around, and you have Romano and Keenan over 10 points.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
But moving on, we'll just kind of take a look at the rest of the Suniac here, just sort of a preview 2 weeks, or rather a recap 2 weeks into the season. And a bit of a surprise is Morrisville State towards the top of the leaderboards in terms of the standings in the Suniac at 3-1. Their first two wins came at Fredonia, a 4-3 win in overtime and a 4-3 win in regulation. And then last week, they just squeezed by, or I should say they just squeezed by against Fredonia. And everyone's saying, hey, wait about this Morrisville team. But let's hold up for a second. This is Morrisville we're talking about, a team that had 8 votes in the coach's preseason poll, which was the fewest you can ever have.
Right, but in the same vein, they have done a really good job this season. Obviously, you know, they haven't played the big guns yet in the Suniac. And coming up, they play Cortland, they play Potsdam, so they don't even meet Geneseo and Oswego State till late January, early February. So they could be looking to kind of string some wins together. I mean, last year, only 2 Suniac wins for them, and this year already 3. So to me, that's impressive. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Suniac, but I'm gonna come out and say I think they make the playoffs this year.
See, I like the excitement, and I'm not going to call it a hot take because I think you genuinely believe that. But for me, when you look at Morrisville, they beat a team in Fredonia who's just adjusting without Eric Bogart, their starting goaltender who graduated last year, a brilliant goaltender that most Oswego fans know from 2 years ago, that crazy game where I think the Lakers scored like 3 goals in the last 5 minutes to win it.
Right.
And this is a team in Morrisville that's not that great as a team. They've given up 152 shots compared to taking only 86. That's a 17.5 shot differential per game against. So they're giving up nearly 18 more shots. You just can't sustain that type of offense every single time.
Yeah, that's a big concern for sure for me, and we'll see what kind of adjustments they can make. But, I mean, Jared Young in net for them has really stood on his head. 915 save percentage so far this year, which is pretty incredible given the volume of shots he's facing. As you mentioned, how bad they've been outshot, and not the most talented offense. I'll give you that for sure. I mean, Nick DeVito leads them with 8 points, 4 goals, 4 assists. Eric Melzo, also with 4 goals. So they do have some offensive firepower, but they're not going to run 4 lines deep. I think that's going to be an issue when they play those big guns. But, I mean, how often is the last seed in the Suniac really great? That's really why I can see them snagging one of those last spots.
So to make the playoffs the last 3 years, you needed 16 points, 14 points, and 14 points. Can they find 5 more wins?
That's the tough part.
That's where you need to find them. You need to look and say, maybe they can split with Cortland. Maybe they can. They're going to need to take both against Cortland and against Potsdam to have a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
because you're not beating Geneseo once. You're not beating Oswego State once. Maybe you can beat Plattsburgh. But that's at the end of the season, when for Plattsburgh, they're probably going to be fighting for a seed. You assume they're going to make the playoffs despite their recent struggles because they're such a young team. Where are you finding me that next win for this team? I don't see it. I really don't.
Yeah, they'd have to sweep Cortland, have to sweep Potsdam. We don't know what Buff State is yet. They haven't played a league game, so you can maybe win one of those. It's going to be tough. I'm not saying it's not going to be tough, but this is a good start. You always want to kind of accumulate those points early on, and it's nice to kind of look and say, hey, we're towards the top for once. It definitely helps a little bit early on in the season.
Yeah, and one thing to point out is their special teams play has not been too special. Their power play, 3-for-18, which is a shade over 16%. And for the penalty kill, 61.1%. It's just atrocious.
Yeah.
And to me, it's impressive that they've won 3 of these games when you have underlying numbers like that. I just don't see it continuing.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a lot of adjustments. I agree with you in that sense. But, you know, we're driving the Morrisville State hype train over here. So if you want to hop on, feel free.
Not we. You.
Ben Grieco also. Ben's not here. I speak for him, though. We're both on the Mustangs bandwagon. The locomotive is moving forward.
I'm more of a Camaro guy.
Who doesn't love an underdog, though, Matt?
I love an underdog. I'm not going to waste my time with this because I just don't think they're that good.
All right, we'll check back in a couple months then.
One team that I do think is pretty good that we'll get to is Brockport, who Oswego State's going to be facing on Friday. And they swept the North Country ship. Luke, I know you love the term North Country.
I do. North Country is a great term.
And they beat Plattsburgh 3-1, and they beat Potsdam 3-2. And then they split the series against Morrisville. And this is a team that, when you lose to Morrisville, it's tough to say what you are, but I think they're a good enough team. I really do.
Yeah, I think they're solid. I don't think they're great. This is a very similar Brockport team than to the one that showed up last season to Oswego State. I remember talking about that game, and people were kind of hyping it up, saying, oh, this could be the year that that Brockport makes some noise. They beat last year. They were 2-1-1 to start going into Oswego State, and then Oswego State beat them 5-2. And that 2-1-1 record was in Suniac play. So people are kind of saying this could be the year Brockport kind of turns it around, and now they're saying it this year. So I don't know. I don't buy in. We'll see how they play this weekend. I think this Friday is a huge test for them.
I think they're a fine team. You know, they're a team that, like their record was last year, they're going to make it to the Suniac playoffs. I don't think they're going to do much with it, but they'll make it there. You know, you look at some of their underlying numbers. They don't score a lot at 3.3 goals per game, but their defense and goaltending has been really strong, giving up just 7 goals in those 4 games they've played. And when you're out shooting your opponents, like, that's important. You know, I look at this team and I say they look solid. I would say that their power play is a little bit inflated at 36%. I don't think that they're that talented, especially when you face half your games against Morrisville, which we know is a bad team defensively and a bad team on the penalty kill. So I see this team and I say, you know what? They can mess around. They can maybe win a Suniac playoff game. But for the Lakers, you don't want to overlook them looking at Geneseo, and I don't think they will. But this is a team that's really built from their goaltender out with Matt Schneider. He's been so impressive. A goals against the average of 177 and a save percentage of 921. And this is a team that might give Oswego State fits early on in terms of trying to score for the Lakers.
Yeah, and I think it would take really a win or at least just a close game for me to kind of start buying into Brockport, just because, I mean, they haven't really ever been towards the top, but this is a big game for Brockport. Not that it's not a big game for Oswego State, but like you said, maybe Oswego State looks forward and says, you know, tomorrow night we're going on the road to Geneseo. That's a huge game. We know what happened last time we were in that arena. So I could definitely see it being one of those games where Brockport has to come in, just comes in playing loose. I mean, they play Cortland the day after, which isn't really as big of a game for them in terms of Suniac play. This is the big game for them. So I think Brockport could come in and cause some havoc early on, like you said.
Right, and speaking of this game on Friday night, it'll be the 4th annual Teddy Bear Toss for Oswego State. The Toys for Tots, of course, last year the Lakers donating 803 toys after that first goal was scored. The Teddy Bears thrown just onto the ice. And first, before we get into the game, I need to ask you a question.
All right.
Because Brian Rudman of WTOP and I have been feuding a little bit when I said that I can throw a teddy bear from the press box over the glass and hit the ice. He said he didn't think I could do it.
I hope you can do it. I don't know if you could do it, though. I really don't know. I don't know if you can do it.
What is your questioning about it?
Well, you didn't even play in the NYLTLP softball.
I played freshman year.
Due to lack of athletic ability.
You know why I didn't play? Because I wanted our team to win, and I did what's best for business.
That's true.
I did what's best for business. I sat out. I took a redshirt year, so I can play in my 5th year.
Yeah.
I played my freshman year. Look, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for the big time yet. I needed to build up my strength, build up my conditioning, my core, and now I'm ready to go for my 3rd season.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, speaking of that teddy bear toss, definitely read the Oswegonian piece by Ben Greek. It was great. He dove into the numbers, got some great quotes. I mean, Josh Dysak was saying his goal is to, A, score that goal that makes the teddy bears rain down, and, B, get a picture with the biggest teddy bear he can find. So we'll see if Dysak can check both those boxes in his last teddy bear toss game.
Yeah, and for Coach Gozik, he said that he hopes for 1,000 teddy bears.
That's
a lofty number.
Lofty goal.
But if you can hit 2,200 fans, which probably maybe a little bit conservative in terms of how many fans the Lakers bring in for a game that's not whiteout.
Right.
You're gonna tell me that half of them can't get a teddy bear? There's teddy bears like in the concourse.
Yeah.
And freshman year when I was sitting there as a fan, I had my friends go to Walmart and I bought a teddy bear for it. Little did I know you can just go pick one up like right at a table. It was really awkward, but
yeah, and they have them out there. And, you know, one of the tough parts is when you sit close to the glass,
you can't get it
over. You're basically throwing it straight up. So there's no way you can get it over the netting. So mm-hmm. That's always a tough
angle. Or everyone that's sitting behind the net and you try to throw it at and it just hits the netting. Sometimes you got to move around to get the teddy bear because you want to hit the ice.
Yeah, and you got to duck if you're in that front row because there are just going to be bears raining down because people are just going to throw them off the net, throw them off
the net.
And
people like me can't hit the ice, apparently.
Yeah. Didn't you, like, hit someone with a barrier?
No, on the follow-through, accidentally grazed the person in front of me, and I felt awful.
Yeah, so be safe out there when the teddy bear toss rolls around this year.
Yeah, and people standing behind me, I'll be there for TOP covering the game. Maybe take a look back there in the press box and give a little crouch or a little huddle, just in case.
Yeah,
just in case I bring one out and throw it. But getting to kind of the nitty-gritty to this series and to this game, I should say, I look at Brockport State and I say, kind of what we said before, this is a fine team. There's nothing crazy special about it, in my opinion. And Oswego State should have an issue handling them.
Yeah, I agree. And But it's going to be interesting to see how those first kind of 10 minutes go. I know it's such a cliche to say, but the way that Plattsburgh State and Oswego State battled those first 10 minutes last weekend, it seemed like whoever scored the first goal was going to grab that momentum. And it ended up being the Lakers, and obviously they went on for a 3-0 win. But this is a Brockport team, especially offensively, that you really can't give them too much, especially on the power play. You mentioned their numbers probably a bit inflated, obviously going against a Morrisville penalty kill unit, but they do have a lot of offensive talent. One thing I really like about this team is they bring back the bulk of their scoring from last year. I always loved that. I love that about Potsdam. I think that it can kind of – it really helps out, especially when you're not as offensively talented. And they're led by a guy that has one of the best names in Division III hockey in Doc Gensler.
That is a great name.
Yeah.
It feels very old-timey. I feel like he wears like a monocle on the ice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
On the post-game bus ride home, maybe he's holding like a scotch. If he's of age, of course, which I believe he is, because I'm pretty sure he played junior hockey.
Yeah, he is also a senior.
So, yeah, he could do that, of course. And looking at this power play, this team for the Brockport, they draw 21 minutes of penalty minutes against every single game. And the Lakers, again, I'll say it until I drill it into the ground, this team's got to do a better job not taking these penalties, because Brockport, they have the legs to draw those penalties, and they play a smarter game. They're only taking about 16 penalty minutes per game, which is still pretty high, but obviously they're drawing more than they're taking.
Yeah, when you're one of those faster teams, or not really, I don't want to say reckless on offense, but, you know, kind of
relentless.
Relentless, willing to go into those areas where you know you can draw trips, you can draw hooks, you can draw boarding penalties, things like that. And it'll be interesting to see how Brockport does that full strength, because if Oswego State can stay out of the box, this is a very different game, and we'll see if Brockport can really match the 5-on-5 talent that Oswego rolls for really all four lines. And a lot of these goals have come on the power play. I mean, you have a freshman in Anthony Hora with 3 goals. You have Gensler with 2. Another 3 players with 1 goal on the power play. So they've really done their work on the power play. So we'll see if it changes in the 5-on-5 game.
Yeah, we'll move over to Geneseo. 3-0-1, 1-0-1 in conference play. And to them I say, no Devin McDonald, no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
Their goaltending has been incredible in the absence of the Division III Player of the Year, the goaltender last year that gave Oswego State fits. And something that's kind of impressive, despite his impressive goal numbers, in the tie at Oswego State, it was 4-4, the final score, so he got 4 goals there. And then the Sunyak final game, I think he gave up 3 as well.
Yeah.
So the Lakers clearly were able to beat him. But so far for Aaron McKay, who seems to have assumed the starting role playing against Plattsburgh and Nazareth, I would say it's the two tougher games versus Canton and Potsdam. Aaron McKay's done a solid job. 2-0-0, a .98 goals against average, and a .960 save percentage. He's picked up right where McDonald's left off.
Yeah, he has, and we'll see. It'll probably depend who plays Friday. I believe they're going against Cortland. We'll see who's in net there and then kind of base that. I think it will be McKay, but with this Geneseo team, I mean, they lose McDonald. They seem to be okay there, and I mean, they're still scoring at an insane clip. They just put up 10 goals on Canton. And I know it's Canton, but 10 goals in a game is ridiculous. They have Romano and Keenan and Empey still at the top, those senior forwards. They're just so darn talented at the top.
And something that's so impressive to me is they always seem to lose a lot of great players. And you talk about losing McDonald. We talk about losing Dougie Legrone and a couple other defenders on the back end. They always seem to bring in these really extremely talented guys. And one guy to kind of note is Matthew Doran, who played D1 last year.
Yeah.
They see, you know, you talk about the Lakers bringing a couple ones in there. You know, Devin Campbell, Derek Brown is one as well, I believe. Tyler Curry even playing for Adrian.
Carson Vance,
obviously. Geneseo takes it to a whole nother level, and it's so impressive to see. I think they have 3 former D1 guys on their back end, at least they did last year. And it just goes to show how good this team is. And, you know, talking to Riche, he always said it was kind of their defense that really stepped up the goaltender. And I was a little bit wary about that, saying, I don't know, McDonald's really good. But maybe it is that defense.
Yeah, I think it might be that defense. And it's just such a good game anytime recently these two teams kind of get together, because they're built very similarly. I mean, strong defensively, defenders that can score, forwards that are obviously at an elite level in D3 hockey. So these teams are very – I think it's a very well-balanced game. I think this is a great matchup for both teams and a big test, a big measuring stick. Because as you mentioned earlier, Geneseo ties that game to Potsdam, and people are saying – well, hold on, maybe Geneseo isn't Geneseo. And I just think they're flat out wrong. I mean, it's just so early in the year, you can't really judge teams all that much. And this game on Saturday is going to kind of be one of those games where we see the true identities of both these teams.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Geneseo is ranked number 2 in the nation for a reason. Oswego State right behind them at 3. And this Geneseo team is just so scary. They're so well coached. I'm really excited for this game, more so than I was for the Plattsburgh game.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, it's going to be on the road, so we won't kind of know the feeling of that environment. But also, our own beat writer, Ben Grieco, is going to be in attendance. He's going to take the team bus there and back. So it'll be a great piece.
A little spoiler alert there.
Oh, was it a spoiler alert?
And you know what? This is why you got to be listening to the podcast here, because you would miss stuff like that. We're not going to cut it out. We're going to keep it in. It's an important piece. So tell your friends, if you're listening, that there's a secret message here on the podcast. And the secret message is that Ben Grieco will be giving us some exclusive coverage with the Geneseo team.
Yeah, so that'll definitely be interesting to watch going forward. And just such a big game for both teams. I think we're both pretty ready to definitely watch this game on Saturday night. But if you're Oswego State, again, don't overlook that Friday night game, because that could be one where Brockport comes in to the Marano Campus Ice Arena and tries to get something going, especially early. So don't look ahead. But we're kind of looking ahead a little bit to Saturday.
I can look ahead. Yeah, I can look ahead.
You can look ahead.
Revenge Part 1 is what we're calling it this week. Take down Geneseo, who beat you, who ruined your chances at a SUNYAC championship. And then next week after that, Hobart.
Yep.
Revenge Part 2, if you will.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for Hobart. I'll actually be going down there. Another little nugget there. I'll be traveling with WNYO's own sports director, Sal Meliato, and we'll be on the call there from the cooler. They call it the cooler down there in Hobart. So, yeah, Revenge Part 1 for the Oswego State Lakers team starts, like you said, on Saturday against Geneseo. In the rink, that they lost that SUNYAC championship to. And I think this is the year the Lakers want to capture that championship. It really has to be this year, obviously, with all those seniors.
Right, and unfortunately, that's all the time we have for now. Luke, where can people find your stuff?
Well, you can find my tweets at LukeTheKid3 on Twitter. And, of course, follow the at Gonian Sports to get all your Oswegonian sports updates, usually tweeted out by our very own Ben Grieco during the game. So definitely tune in there. And obviously the Oswegonian.com, our wonderful writers, wonderful sports writers there. You can get your content. Matt actually broke down the matchup between Geneseo and Oswego State, so look forward to that coming out this weekend.
Yeah, and for me, find myself at MattWatling99. Find myself at WNYO on WNYO889.org from 11 to 1 on Sundays. Come spend your football Sundays with us at the top, Luke.
Yeah, that's
the fact
true.
That you can't even plug that, the weekend recap as well.
I'm in Gonian mode. What can I say?
You are, and we're all over the place here. So thank you again to Sal Miliato of WNYO for the goal calls at the top of the show, and for WNYO for letting us use their studio space. On next week's show, we're previewing the Revenge Tour Part 2, as we mentioned, as the Lakers will head to Hobart to take on the Statesmen.